Okay, if you will, please turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Have you ever given any thought about how Jesus came to earth? Was there any other way that he could have come as the Messiah? Israel missed him because they were looking for a king, not a baby. And yet, Jesus could not have been the atonement, the propitiation to God, the payment to God for our sin, had he not come as a human with human blood to be offered in payment for our sin. One verse actually sums it up, but the verse is so common that we don't realize the magnitude of the verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, if he had come as a king, yes, we could have believed easily. The Jews could have believed. But God sent him as a baby. A child, and not a wealthy child, not a child of prominence, but simply a child. And he was born in a stable, not in some fancy home. He was born among animals, laid in a manger for a crib. When we look at John 3:16, do you see Christmas in that verse? Most people don't, and yet it's loaded with all that God was going to do for the world. And Christmas was actually just the beginning. Isaiah 9:6 through 7 says, For unto us a child is born. It's one of the prophecies. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. A promise. A promise offered 750 years before the advent of our Lord and Savior. It ends with the fact that it says the Lord of hosts, and the hosts, of course, are heavenly angels. The Lord of hosts will perform this. And we sit here today because he did. The slave, you and I, changed masters. We got away from the dominance of sin and we became the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and the servant of God. Because Jesus came 2,000 years ago. This is the beginning of our opportunity this time of year to spread the joy of Christmas among people we know, people we come in contact with. And this is also something that the world needs right now, is joy, not happiness. They get happiness by whatever's going on in their life, but joy is internal. Joy is in our hearts. And no matter what's going on around us, we can still have that joy and we can still share that joy. That's the whole purpose for which Christmas comes and is celebrated. In Luke 2, 13 and 14, which we read 10 and 11 earlier, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, if you want to see some goodwill, get around them all this time of year. And that's the one thing you won't see, is goodwill. But God intends for this to be a time of goodwill. And God intends this to be a time when you and I have the opportunity to spread the joy of Christmas among everybody we know. Let's pray and get into our message. Father, we are so grateful this morning for not only your wisdom, but your power, that you were able 2,000 years ago to produce a life in the Virgin Mary, a life that could be lived here upon earth, and after 33 years, return to you. And Father, it is this time of year that we celebrate that life. Father, you have said you sent him because you loved us. And Father, may we understand that love. May we perceive that love. May we share that love with people all around us at this time of the year. May your Holy Spirit work in hearts. May he prepare hearts to hear the story, to see the joy that you have given us. And may they understand that it is real. May they desire it. May they find it. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, angels have a job to accomplish. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus created them. Angels are created by Jesus. They were created before the world probably ever was here. He created angels because they had a job to do. And they are to praise God. And they're to glorify him. They're going to be messengers to help us in times of need, to communicate with us at times. I mean, angels have talked to people. They talked to Daniel. Moses had an angel talk to him. There's many people that angels have talked to, and it was just in times of great need. And so angels were created to help God. And one of the jobs of angels always has been to praise God. And that is something that you and I can do. Especially this time of year. We should be praising God all year long. But especially this time of year, we need to praise God. And he's given us a lot to praise him about. But you know, as great as angels are, and they are, they're stronger than you and I. They have abilities you and I don't have. And how many of you flew to church this morning? Okay. Maybe you drove like you were flying, but there's one thing that an angel can never do, folks, as great as they are, as much ministers of God as they are, they will never, ever understand or experience the joy that you and I experience when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. They will never experience that because they don't have sin. Some of them sinned. They were cast into hell. Some of them became demons upon the earth following after their leader, the devil. But two-thirds of the angels living in heaven with God, praising God, serving God, will never experience the joy that you and I experience when the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts at the moment of our salvation. And I think that probably everybody seated here this morning, everybody in this auditorium, has received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't see anyone that I would have any doubt. And so you have experienced joy in your heart that even an angel cannot experience. And so why not share that with the world around us? And that's why I titled my message for this morning, Spreading the Joy of Christmas. For most of the world who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas is not a joyful time. It is a time of pressure. It is a time of stress. It is a time of unhappiness because they feel the pressure of having to perform, having to meet certain expectations. And we don't have to do that. Or you say, well, I've got children, they're expecting a certain amount of things, stuff. And yeah, they do. Because the other kids expect it, the kids of the world. But, you know, we don't have to be under stress. All we have to do is follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit. So an angel will never experience what you have experienced in the way of joy at receiving Jesus Christ or of having their heart indwelled by the Holy Spirit. This time of year should not be a time for us being stressed out. It shouldn't be. And you might say, well, you don't know what's going on at my house. Yeah, I probably do, because there were times when it went on at our house. But the world has its own idea of what Christmas is all about. And as we sit here this morning, we should have a different idea of what Christmas is really all about. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about gifts of getting or of giving. But we have a chance. Each one of us have a chance. We've got two more days till Christmas. Well, one day, actually. We have a chance to share the joy of Christmas with everybody in our life. With everybody. Uncles, aunts, parents, if they're still alive, and brothers and sisters and cousins. We have a chance to share joy. There's a whole stack of Christmas cards on the table back there. Those Christmas cards are intended to be joyful. None of you had to go out and buy a Christmas card. We'd have loved you whether you sent one or not. I had a chance this week to Brother Bob Sexton. He was so faithful to this church when he had all of his faculties about him. He's no longer able to get out. Once in a while when somebody can take him someplace. But I took over his Christmas cards to him. And I went in and sat down with him. He said, come on in, let's sit down. And so we sat down. He said, could you read my cards to me? I can't read anymore. And so I sat there reading you folks' Christmas cards to Bob. And what a blessing that was to him. And, you know, I some of you sealed your envelope, and so I got my pocket knife out to go ahead and open them up. And he said, no, I've got a letter opener. He went and got a letter opener and came back, and I opened up the envelope. I like, my wife tears envelopes open, shreds them. I like to do it neatly. And so I had a chance to open his cards, and he sat there on the couch beside me, and I read them to him, and he was so blessed. You folks were such a blessing to him. And afterwards I said, Bob, what are you going to do with them? And he said, oh, I'm going to put them on the mantle. I said, I'm going to put them up around the house. So that's what he was doing when I left. And so, you know, this is a time of year where we are to experience joy. Real joy. Not happiness. Happiness is short-lived. It's over, you know. 2 minutes or 25 minutes after the gifts are opened. But joy. And that's one of the things that we're supposed to share at Christmas time. Christmas was God's time to love. And it should be our time to love. Not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to love the whole world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And we are to love the people of the world. And in doing so, we are to share the Lord Jesus Christ. Has this thought ever gone through your mind? I don't get this or do that. If I don't do this, they're not going to think good of me. If I don't say... Have you ever, you know, there are people who if they get a Christmas card, they got to send one back. If they get a gift, they've got to give a gift. And have you ever been under that pressure? I have. I've felt it in my own heart. But you know what? We have a gift. We have a great gift. We have a gift that is like no other in the world that we can give, and this is the perfect time of year to do this. Give the gift of life. Real life. Give the gift of the forgiveness of sin. You know, Christmas is really all about Jesus. And think for a minute about that part of the pride that makes us want to give whoever sends us a Christmas card back, or a gift, a gift back. What did God expect from us when he gave us this gift of Jesus Christ? What did he expect? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What can we give him that he doesn't already have? Nothing. You who have been parents or are parents right now, your children want to buy you a present. Who's going to wind up paying for that? You are. You're going to have to give them the money to buy the gift that they're going to get for you. Now, why are they doing that? They're doing that because they love you. And God did that for you and I because he loved us. Now, will you be any less joyful when you get your gift on Christmas morning and you open it up because you had to pay for it? Not really. Not really. God did not expect anything back from us. And so, folks, we need to understand it's not the getting. It is the giving. And we don't have to give material things. We can give so much more than that. We have something no one else in the world has. We have the gift of salvation. We have the gift of Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus to the world as a payment for your sin. If Jesus had not come, we would not be sitting here this morning. There would be no Christmas, because we would still be in our sin. And all over the world, there are people in sin this very morning. They will be in sin tomorrow morning. They will be in sin on Sunday morning, or on Tuesday morning when it is Christmas. And you and I may be the only ones who will ever be able to tell them about the gift of God. Spreading the joy of Christmas. We have the one that Christmas is all about. And we need to emphasize that in the lives of everybody that we come in contact with. It's not about the presents that are under the Christmas tree. It's the present that is in our hearts that we need to share with the world. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, said this in Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Who else? Let me ask you a question. Who else can give peace but a Christian? Who else can give peace but Jesus Christ? The child of God is the one who can give peace. There's not going to be peace in this world as long as there is sin. And there's going to be sin until the time that Jesus comes back and gets rid of the devil and everybody who has followed him. Then there will be peace. But there will be no peace between now and then. Not in Israel, between the Palestinians. That's a futile effort. But we have peace, and we can share that peace. We can be peacemakers. That's what we're supposed to be. As we think about Christmas and what it's really all about, let me give you a couple of scripture passages that you can share or think about. One is 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, that's what we're celebrating right now, justified in the Spirit, that happened on the day of Pentecost, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory when Jesus ascended. That's Titus 3:16. Now Titus 2:11 through 15. I'm sorry, that was 1 Timothy 3:16. This is Titus 2:11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. As I look out this morning, I see a lot of peculiar people. All of us are peculiar. We have what the world wants, And we can give it as a gift to them by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to have the blood with which to cover our sin, Jesus had to come as a baby. There was no other way. God, in all of his wisdom, had it planned from before the world ever stood up. And he sent him at Christmas time. Jesus lived the plan that God had. And according to that plan, so that all might have forgiveness, not only did he come, but he came to die. There's a Christmas play by that name, Born to Die. I think this church did it at one time. I don't remember. I think I've heard people talk about it. But we have to keep that in mind. Jesus came to die, and so Christmas should be, you know, a little bit of a damper as we think about the price that he came to pay. Just like the angels have a job to do, for God, we too have a job to do, and that is to share the joy of Christmas with the world around us. People are thinking about Christmas. They may not be thinking about why they're having Christmas, but they're thinking about the fact that Christmas is coming and they've got to get a gift for Uncle Joe because Uncle Joe's going to give them a gift. And that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. And I think we've got that on the sign out here, don't we? Something about put Jesus back in Christmas. You know, it's much easier to transition our conversation at this time of year into something spiritual because of Christmas. We're able to, whatever we're talking about, remind people of why we have Christmas. We have Christmas because Jesus came. Most of the world that observes Christmas sing and think about the baby in the manger, but they don't think about the man with the print of the nails in his hand and the piercing of the spear in his side. Nor do they think about the price he paid and the blood he shed to satisfy a holy God. To pay a price for your sin and my sin. A terrible price. If you and I only committed one sin a day, how many days have you lived on this earth? If you're over 3 years old, you've lived over 1,000 days. That's 1,000 sins if you commit just one a day. If you're 30 years old, you've committed over 30,000 sins. If you're 60 years old, perhaps as many as 60,000, but most likely more. So do we have something to celebrate at Christmas time? You betcha we do. Because Jesus came to take away our sin. And that's the joy that we need to share at Christmas time of how we can be forgiven sin. Most of the world thinks Christmas is all about Santa Claus and presents. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21 says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the word that we need at Christmas. We are here to reconcile, to preach the word of reconciliation, to speak the word of reconciliation to everybody we know. Verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We have a job to do all the time, but Christmas is one of the special times of year that we need to do this job of sharing the joy of Christmas. We need to tell people why we're celebrating. Not just the birth of Christ, but because he took away our sins by dying on the cross. 1 John 2:1-2 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation," there's that word again that means payment. "He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." People, we got a whole world out there we need to tell. And this would be a good time of year to tell. People are intent on giving gifts at Christmas, so why not be a part of giving the gift of peace and the gift of forgiveness as the Holy Spirit works in people's heart, causing them to repent? I remember my first Christmas as a newborn Christian. It took on a whole different meaning. Christmas became a time for giving, not forgetting. Acts 20, verse 35 says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said," you know what this next part of that verse is? "How it is more blessed to give than to receive." Those are the words of Jesus to us. And that's what it's really all about. So, there's no joy in hate. And the devil hates whatever God wants to do or to accomplish. God's a God of love. And we can spread the love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time of year among all of the people that we know. It's about the love of God sending to earth his Son, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sins. It's about the cross, not the Christmas tree. Christmas presents may bring a brief happiness, but it's only the forgiveness of our sins that brings real joy to our hearts at Christmas time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us enough to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us this time of year where we may celebrate his birth, thinking of his life and all that it means for each one of us. Father, may we have real joy in our hearts at this time of year. May that joy be shared with those around us, and may they know that Jesus is real, that he fulfilled the purpose he came to fulfill. And Father, may we be the ambassador that shares that information with them. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Tim.